bless us tonight. Thank you for this morning. Now, Father, help me to do your work and help me to do it well tonight. Lord, I want to be an encouragement to everyone here. Pray for Pastor Dave that he gets well, and Pastor Rich. And Lord, be with Dale Robinson when he has that surgery. And Lord, be with Roger and help them in his surgery. And Lord, for the baby coming, we just pray that, Lord, everything go well for the baby to be born this week. And Lord, just bless us. Bless our church. And be close to each one of our people. Father, may our people sense your presence in their life. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I know Jordan and Andrew's pretty excited. I think Andrew's due for this Saturday. So we're pretty excited about that. Amen. Another new baby, so be praying for that. Pray that Jordan don't pass out. And yeah, that first baby's something else, man. They're all. By the way, they're all exciting. Every baby's exciting, but that very first one, something different. You've never been through it, and oh my, it's exciting. I was telling one of the boys today when Rosie had Tammy Lynn. This goes back a little ways. They didn't allow the men to go in and watch the baby born. I was, we still had the men's, older folks know what I'm talking about. They still had the men's waiting room. The men stayed out in a different room and waited for the doctor and nurse to come in. Now the kids just go in with them. You know, they're there, which I think is good, by the way, that the guy could be there. When David Richard was born, they were just now allowing people, but Rosie had complications. And so I never got to go in when David was born either. And then after Dave was born, Rosie almost died both times having a baby. The doctor came and said, if you want your wife to live, you better stop having babies. And I said, well, I want my wife more than anything. We didn't have another baby. So I never saw him really delivered. But I was with him the rest of the time. Amen? It's very special. Children are a heritage of God. Happy as a man has a quiver full. Tonight I want to talk to you about fill the water pots. Fill the water pots. And tonight I want us to look at these verses and glean some truths from them. I've preached from this. I've pastored her going towards 24 years. I've preached from this scripture before. The Bible's good no matter where you preach from. And I got a couple more thoughts that I didn't have before towards it. So and this is what the Lord put in my heart. So notice this. As we try to learn some truth from this, look at verse 1. The third day. How many see that? The third day. There was a marriage on the third day. Thank God for that third day. Thank God for that third day. Listen, what's so important about that third day, preacher? Well, Jesus continually told his disciples when he was with them that he was going to suffer and then he was going to die and raise on the third day. Jesus made a whole lot about that third day, and I'm going to show you some stuff tonight. By the way, you're in John. Look at John 2:19. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple. He wasn't talking about the physical temple. He was talking about the body. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. I'm going to tell you right now, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is very important. That third day is really important. Three ought to be one of your favorite numbers. Listen, that third day has an importance to the child of God. Hold your hand there and look at Romans 7:4. Don't lose John because I'm going to come back to John. But look at Romans 7:4. Romans 7:4 says, wherefore, my brethren, ye are become dead to law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even him who was raised from the dead. We're married to Christ. Hallelujah. Can anyone say amen? And because we are, we should bring forth fruit unto God. That third day has a great importance for the child of God because Jesus arose on the third day. Can anyone say amen? And because he rose that third day, we can have eternal life through him. Look up here. If he hadn't rose that third day, we'd have no hope. Many times we don't think about how important that third day is. Get this. If Jesus didn't raise from the dead on that third day, watch, there would be no marriage for you and me. Not with Christ. There would be no marriage supper of the Lamb. There would be no heaven. There would be no new body. There would be no new birth. There would be no forgiveness of sin. And there would be no escape from hell's torment and flames. How many are glad he rose the third day? Matter of fact, hold your hand there in John. Look, just look. I'll try not to keep going back. Look at Revelation 19:7. It's a great verse. It's a marriage supper of the Lamb. Saved people will be there, by the way. Revelation 19:7. We're talking about marriage right now. We're talking about a spiritual marriage with Christ. You and I are, you that are saved, we're married to Christ. We're his bride. Let us be glad. How many got Revelation 19:7? Let us be glad. How many want to be glad? No, I'm going to be a sad preacher. No, Rosie says, scratch your butt and get glad. Amen? And so, let us be glad. That's what Rosie says all the time. It's not my fault. It's not me saying it. It's her. Look at that verse 7 says, let us be glad and rejoice. Christians ought to be a happy people. Man, I'm saved. My sins are forgiven. I'm redeemed. Hallelujah. Man, I'm heaven bound. Man, I can't wait to get there. Hallelujah. I can't wait to walk on the streets and go see Christ. I can't wait to get a brand new body. Hallelujah. And this marriage supper lamb, I've got a picture in my office. Steve Dill gave it to me 20-some years ago. It's got a table. It like goes forever. Like we'll be at all the Christians that are saved. We're going to have a big, like every Sunday, me and my kids, I have my family come. And some of the church family always comes and they have dinner with us every single Sunday. And man, they open that big wood oak table Rosie's got. They open it, John and them boys, they open it up. It's got two slats, is that what they call them? Two inserts. And they plop, plop. And it makes it 4 foot longer, you know. And so everybody can get around the table. But it's great that you can get around the table with the family. You know, that's what God's going to do with us. Billy, we're just a big family of God. We're just going to get around the table with our Savior. Can anyone say amen? And so, by the way, if it wasn't for the third day, Brother Marty, we'd be sunk. We wouldn't have that day. But aren't you glad for that third day? Amen? Go back to John now. Look at verse 2. Now, I know that third day is talking about their marriage in Cana. I know that. I'm not trying. But I'm just telling you, I can see a greater truth also. There's also going to be a marriage in heaven. And because of that third day, him raising, we're going to have a marriage. How many see what preacher's trying to show you there? And there really was one that day in Galilee. It's on the third day. But I believe God was showing us something there, what I showed you. And notice what it says. And guess who's going to that wedding? Guess who's going to that marriage supper? Both Jesus was called and his disciples. Amen? How many can say amen to the marriage? By the way, if you're not saved, you won't be called. Only Jesus and the disciples are going to be called. Are you with me? If Jesus didn't raise from the dead on that third day, there would be no marriage for you and I. There would be no marriage of the Lamb, no heaven, no new birth, no new body, no forgiveness of sin, no escape from the flames of hell and the tortures of hell. Both Jesus and disciples were both called to the marriage. Listen, I love this. No marriage. Notice who's Jesus and the disciples. How many get this? No marriage is complete without Jesus being with the marriage and with the disciples. No marriage is blessed without Jesus being. No marriage is being is blessed without Jesus being present. You know what? You can't have a blessed marriage without Christ being the centerpiece. If Christ isn't the center and focus of your home, you don't have a good marriage, because Jesus has got to be the centerpiece the center focal of your marriage and your life. Can anyone say amen? Now, jump to me with verse 6. I'm not going to try to preach here all night to you. I know we have another thing to go on after this yet for the bikers. Bikers, thank you for doing that. I'm excited about this year's. I'm really excited about the blessing of the bikers this year. Notice in verse 6, there were set there 6 water pots. Now, 6 in the Bible represents man. You study Genesis chapter 2, verse 26 to 31 in God's creation. God made man on the 6th day. I'm a nut with numbers. I really believe numbers mean things. One true living God. 2 is the number of witness. 3 is divine number. Jesus raised on the 3rd day. 4 is the number of the world. Lazarus was in the grave 4 days. 5 is grace. 5 loaves. He fed the 5,000 people. It just goes on. 6 is the number of man. That's the day God made man on the 6th day. So 7 is God's complete number. And it just goes on. 8 is the number of new beginning. Noah and the 8 people in the ark, new beginning. And all, just 9, Jesus cried out in the 9th hour, he cried out, it is finished. So 9 is the finished work of Calvary's, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And just goes on, 12 is the number of Israel, 40 is the number of testing. It just goes on and on. If you really study them, you can see them sometimes. You can see what we call numerology in the Bible. And so notice what it says there. There were, how many water pots? 6. So 6 represents man. These 6 water pots, they represent man in a spiritual aspect. Yeah, they literally were 6 water pots there. I'm not denying that. I know there was physically 6 water pots, but I think God's trying to show us something spiritually too. He showed us about the marriage, and now he's showing about the new birth. The number of man is 6. And there were 6 water pots. And they were stone. They were hardened. They need to be changed. Can anyone say amen? And after the manner of purifying the Jews, pertaining 2 and 3 firkins. And so these 6 water pots that represent man, God uses them. And look what he says. Here's the title right here. Verse 7, my main verse. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. Fill the water pots with water. Now, remember, the water pots represented man. And God's saying they need water. Water in the Bible represents the Word of God. One more thing, and I won't make you go back. Hold your hand here because I'm coming back to it. But look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Fill those water pots. Ephesians chapter 2, and look at verse 26. I'm having a hard time finding it. 5:26. It's only the 25th mistake I made today. I should have known that too. 5:26. Because I have that scripture in my heart. Notice what it says in Ephesians 5:26. That he may sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of what? By the word. And so many times in the scripture, water represents the word of God. Are you with me? How many still with? And so, the washing of the word. You don't get right with God till you get washed. You don't get right with God till you get to the water of the word. How many are still with me? Notice, go back to John. He says, Jesus said, fill the water pots, those 6 representing man, the water representing the word of God. Listen, all men need water. You can't live without water. All men need the word of God. All men must have the word of God. You can't get saved without the word of God. Look what he said. Fill them up to the brim. Yeah. Jesus, when he saves us, he doesn't half save us. He saves us 100%. Amen? When Jesus saves us, he saves us all the way. He saves us right up to the brim. Notice when verse 8, it said, get this, draw out now. What do you mean, preacher? God's saying, draw that water out. Draw that water out now. Get the word. How does people get saved? They got to have the word of God. How many are still with me? He said, draw out now. Fill those water pots now. Brother Mike, there's a lot of water pots out there up and down these streets that need water. For them to come to life, for them to be changed, for them to be useful, for them to be saved from hell, they need water. They need water. They need the water of life. They need the eternal life from Christ, from the Word of God. How many are still with preacher? Draw it out now. Hey, fill those water pots. Fill them up to the brim, by the way. Let them get them all. And draw out now. God wants the word to go out now. Listen, not later. God wants the word of God to go out now. Now. God wants people to drink his water now. They might not have a chance some other day later. You say, when's the best time to witness to someone? Right now. When's the best time to tell people about Jesus? Right now. When's the best time to support a missionary? Right now. When's the best time to pray for someone to get saved? Right now. Right now. Do you know God's a now? He's a now type of God. He's a now type of God. God wants people to drink this water now. Hold your hand there and go to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. And look at verse 37 through 39. Stay in John 2. But in John 7, 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. There's that water again. That's why we're going to have this biker blessing. Oh yeah, we're going to have fun eating stuff. But I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to preach the word of God to him, try to get him saved. Jack told about a man that he gave a tract to a long time ago, and they still got it. What city was that? Cleveland. Yeah. He delivered a motorcycle, and they said, we got that piece of paper you gave us a long while back. I'm glad they kept it. They'll read that. I guarantee you they'll read it more than once. Listen, but this, verse 38, his belly shall flow of rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit which they believed on, whom he received, for the Holy Ghost was not given yet, had not yet given, because Jesus was not glorified yet. Didn't need the Holy Spirit while Jesus was here. And after he suffered and died, rose that third day, he walked on the earth 40 days, then he went back to heaven, then the Holy Spirit came. That's Pentecost. How many are still with me? And so, notice I wrote this down. Today, we live in a thirsty world. Today, Christians, we need to take the word out now. How many heard me? Every one of you ought to get a couple tracts before you leave tonight if you ain't got none. And you ought to take those tracts with you. And I don't care where you go tomorrow. I don't care if it's your mailman. I don't care if it's your next-door neighbor. I don't care if it's the guy that gives you the frosting from Wendy's. I don't care what it is. Or McDonald's. Hello, happy. Amen. I love those Happy Meals. I love everything they got. I really love their breakfast. I love that sausage, egg, and muffin. Oh! Oh, my lands. I wonder if they'll have them in heaven. Those things are phenomenal. And now... now I have an excuse to go to get them because they're giving me free coffee. How can you turn down free? No, just seniors now, not you young kids. Is it for everybody? Or is it just for seniors? It's everybody. Man, you kids ought to take advantage of that. Us old codgers get them all the time, but you guys can get it now. That's one thing. Fun about being a senior citizen. You can't do nothing, but you get a lot of free food. Listen to me. it's been a day. I lost my thoughts. I just want to go to McDonald's, Josh. That's all I care about. Today we live in a thirsty world. And we need to take his word out now. Jesus wants us to draw out. He said draw. He didn't say later. He said draw out now. Get the word of God out now. Get that water to them now. They need it now, not later. There's an urgency. Get it now. Draw it out now, not later. How many are getting it? Jesus wants us to draw out now. Jesus wants to take his holy word out to the lost world now. Not later, now. Every day. This week ought to be a now week for Jesus with Bethel Baptist Church. We ought to take those tracks, and I don't care who you see tonight, give them a track. Tomorrow, you ought to take at least 7 tracks and say, God, I'll give out 1 track per day. This ought to be a now week for Bethel Baptist Church. For Christ. Now for Christ. You ought to take that cup of water. Boy, I love, the kids always get me water. I love that water. I drank all that water. Who took my one from this morning? Just kidding. Listen, there's a lot of thirsty people out there. I saw Wes witnessing the people at Goodwill a week ago. Wes was in Goodwill, he and his wife, and Wes told him about Jesus. I like that. You keep doing that, Wes. You say, well, the guy didn't come, but he got witnessed to. And Wes, when Wes, he's exciting. Wes don't like to take no for an answer, man. You're going to come, aren't you? You're going to come now. I want you to come. He'd have made a great preacher. Won't you come? Won't you come? God says, draw. What time does God want us to draw it? Now, he wants us to take that water, the word, and he wants people to get that water, the word, now. Now. Notice verse 9 and 10. When the ruler of the feast has tasted the water and was made wine, and not, knew not whence it was, the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, every man at the beginning does set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, that one that which were worse, but now has kept the good wine until now. Listen to me. 9 and 10. That water that was turned into wine, that was a miracle. How many believe that was a miracle? That water that was turned into wine was a miracle. You know what that miracle represented? To you and I, it represents something special. Because if the water pots represented man, and the water represents the word of God, and he made a miracle from water to wine, that miracle is a type of the new birth. See, you got to have water to get that new birth. How many want the miracle? See, when people are saved, that's a miracle. It's the greatest miracle in life. The greatest thing that ever happened in my life is that I got saved. Hallelujah, I'm not going. That's the greatest miracle of life. Notice, that water turned into wine. That miracle represents the miracle of the new birth. It's a symbol and type of the new birth. That water changed into wine. Let me just quote it to you. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You can write there in your Bible. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let me just get a thought here. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Watch. Old things are passed away. Behold. I like when God says behold, he says stop and look and listen. Behold, all things become new. When I got saved, man, I'm going to tell you, I got changed. Oh, I'm not perfect, but I got changed. When you got saved, you got changed too. And if you didn't, you didn't get saved. I'm not preaching a working salvation. I'm just preaching a salvation that works. Because when you really get saved, you don't get saved by works, but you after you get saved, you want to work for Jesus. Hello? You want to tell people what happened to you. I was a miracle. I had a great effect on the people that, because my life was, and I don't, thank God for kids that are clean and pure. You are the greatest kids in the world. And you stay that way. Or I'll rip your face off. But I came from when people that ran with me and the people that my lifestyle, when they saw me get saved, they couldn't believe it. They couldn't believe that I got saved. I stopped cussing. Although saved people do cuss sometimes. But we ought not. Hello? I completely stopped drinking. But there are some people that still drink, but they ought not. I'm glad God saved me out of the bars. And my whole attitude about things, the people that I ran with, the buddies I used to run and go to the bars and do all kinds of stuff with, they said, "You're not no fun no more." And they'd come by and say, "Hey, come on, we're going out tonight. We're going to one of the." I don't want to go. "Oh, come on, you just forget that religion. You become a Jesus person." "No, I just don't want to go." God changed my heart. When you get saved, a new beginning starts in your life. That's a miracle. I remember Josh, I was talking to Josh about the church, and she reminded me of the church when she sang that Lighthouse. People would come to Lighthouse Baptist Church. Not that they cared about church. They came just to see me. Not that I want them to see me, I want to see, but they said, "That cannot be possible that Rich Skiver's there." And many of them came, guys from Allied Chemical, some of the roughest guys that can clean out a whole bar. They came and got saved, became ushers in the church. I never worried about anybody grabbing me. They always said, "Someone's going to kill you down there." I said, "I'm going to tell you, those people love me so much, and they came out of the gutters like me. If someone even moved next to me, I don't know how many switchblade knives or someone, they would have dropped them." I tell you, I never worried about anybody coming after me. Those people would have killed anybody that even thought about coming after me. Because they got miraculously saved like I did. I've seen God. Listen, the water into wine. I'm still teaching on John. That water into wine is a type, a symbol of the new birth. How we were lost and God changed us. How many see that? See, that's what it's all. Oh, yes, it did happen. He did literally turn. I'm not turning the scripture. He did turn water into wine. But there's even a greater truth behind it, and the greater truth is about the new birth. How many are seeing what preacher's trying to show you today? And so, notice, and I'm going to quit here in a minute. I really am. Miracles begin with the greatest miracle of all, of life, the new birth in Christ. When people bring people to Jesus, they are seeing miracles. Look at verse 11, I'm all done. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee. By the way, what were the miracles? It was a miracle, water into wine. But it was a miracle in type of what God does for us when we get saved. He makes a new person out of us. He turns the old person to the new. How many are with me? We become the new, 2 Corinthians 5:17, we become new creatures. 2 Corinthians 5:17, someone need to hear that verse. We become new creatures in Christ. That's the new birth. That's the miracle. And by the way, every time someone gets saved, it's a miracle. As good as you were when you got saved, it was a miracle. The greatest miracle we could see is a new birth. Oh, everyone wants to see God do great miracles. Wow, we never see. I'll tell you, the greatest miracle a few weeks ago was when a man walked down here and a lady, and they both asked Christ to save him. That was the great, many people didn't realize what was going on, but they came from death and life. Brother Coolidge went and visited this couple from the jail ministry that got saved. They were coming here several weeks in a row, and then the car broke down. They hadn't been here for a while. But Brother Coolidge, he told them, man, he said, "You are one of the greatest examples we can show for the jail ministry." Because I really believe that young couple really got saved. They were a miracle. Rich Skiver, 40-some years ago, 45 years ago, had a miracle. And people come to hear a miracle. People come to see a miracle. And they did. And they still do. Because God's in the miracle business. Now, You and I need to be about his business. His business is bringing others to Christ. What will we do this week? Will we go after a miracle? Oh, we don't perform the miracle. Jesus does the miracle. But boy, we could sure bring him to hear, to see our Christ, to hear from our Christ. Amen? We could bring his word to them. See, look up here, I'm all done. There's a lot of empty water pots. When you leave tonight, even some of your family, there's a lot of empty water pots that need to be filled. And they need to be filled with the Word of God. Some of you have never talked to your family. Some of you have never even shared the Word of God. Oh, they can't get. No, they should be. My niece was here this weekend. She's dating a man. He appears to be a good man. But I said to her, I said, Betty, is he saved? I said, Betty, the most important thing that you want to know for that man is that he knows Christ is his Savior. But Uncle Rich, he's Catholic. I said, I don't care if he's Catholic, is he saved? I said, you need to go. You know, Betty was a great, my niece was a great, she used to be on fire for God. She dropped out. She used to be on, years ago, she was on fire for God, man. Oh, my, what a witness. Kaylee, you couldn't believe her. She was witnessing everybody. She was fearless, man. It's a way, though, when you get away from the Lord, not just anybody. When we get away from the Lord, what happens? We quit filling up the water pots. We quit putting the word, the water out. How many are still with me? And so tonight, I want to encourage you, as Jesus did, as he said in that verse there in John chapter 11, he said, fill the water pots with water. The water pots represent man. The water represents the Word of God. So I leave you with this, Bethel. This week, I want to give you a challenge from Jesus. I want to give you a word from Jesus. Chapter 2, verse 7, fill the water pots with water. There's a lot of water pots out there this week you're going to meet. Some of you might go to that gas station, super, they sell hot dogs and everything. What's it on the corner there in 44? Cheech, yeah. Yeah, I got Superman on my mind. We had that super thing all day. And some of you go to Sheets and get your gas, and also you get food there. That's why everybody goes there, but they got food. When you go there this week, why don't you look for somebody that you can fill the water pot with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Amen? Why don't you take at least 7 tracts before you leave today? Pass out one each day. There's a lot of empty water pots that need to be filled. You fill them, Jesus will save them. He'll save them to the brim all the way. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've had in the Word of God. Lord, challenge us. Oh God, challenge us to go to those water pots that need to be filled. There's people out there that need a miracle. There's people out there that need to be changed by Christ. There's people out there that's going to go to hell without our Savior. God, let us care. Lord, there's a marriage coming. There's a marriage in heaven coming. And only those that are saved are going to be at that marriage. Lord, help us to invite people to get saved so they can go to the wedding marriage of the Lamb. Lord, help us to be excited about just the things of God. Help us to have a love for you that we don't have all the time. And Lord, help us to draw nigh to you, read your Bible and pray and do for others. Care for others. Reach for others. Help others. Lord, please, help us to care for others. And Lord, I just pray that we would do everything pleasing in your sight. Help us to do your work. Help us to do it well, I pray. In Christ's name, amen. Let's